You know, he didn't use speech that is strong and designed to excite the listener. You know, he didn't offer some appealing tone or action. He said he didn't use none of these means or none of these methods. You know, like being a great orator, you know, able to speak just fluently and beautifully. And of course he could have, because in his day he was a great orator, you know, but he didn't use this public speaking skills. He didn't use that. And I'm thankful that he didn't use that, because now we have a clear gospel. Almost all of the New Testament was written by Paul, and it's clear and plain. And I thank God for it. And that's what we need to be using today. You know, the church today is much different. Pastors and the preachers, they use their intellect, their education, theology, to garner approval and get their message across to the people. You know, they also use a charismatic tone, and we call it whooping. You know, the Apostle Paul didn't use none of that. The Apostle Paul, who was highly skilled in public speaking, and he was educated by the most learned scholars of that day. You know, he said his preaching was under the anointing. That's what he said, under the anointing and the power of the Spirit. That's what our preaching and teaching should be about. And what he preached was confirmed with signs and wonders. That's what God wants to do. And that's why it's so important to understand this message. You know, it's not pulling down the church, it's picking up the church. God, I mean, I love whooping. I love to hear him whooping. Yeah, oh Lord. Oh, yes Lord. I understand that. And it does something to your spirit. And I like it. But let me tell you something. Without the word of God, you ain't gonna have no confirmation of the preaching by signs following. We need to know that when we preach and when we teach, that we can lay hand on the sick and that when we lay hand on the sick, they will recover. That when we speak to a dead person, that the breath will come, breath of life will come back in them. That's what we need to know. And that's how we need to preach and teach the word. Just like Paul and the disciples and Jesus did. You know, this is the outcome that God is expecting. You know, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, chains are broken. My God, the chains are broken off of us. Sickness and disease are healed right then. They're cured. The lame can get up and start walking. You know, the amputees of legs and toes and fingers will grow back immediately. You know, the dead will rise. When we speak the word and we speak life, the dead will get up and start walking in the name of Jesus. Saints of God, this is what I'm talking about in this lesson. You know, and all those missing parts will be restored. And I want to tell you, the kidneys, the hearts, the lungs, the pancreas, the liver, the spleen, the colon, all of those parts that are eroding, the kidneys in our bodies, will come back to life when we're preaching and teaching under the ability that God has given us through the power of the Holy Ghost, letting God do what he's supposed to do. We do what we're supposed to do by preaching the word only. We have to preach the word only. And then God, he will confirm the preaching and teaching with signs following. Amen. So we're going to get further along in this lesson. And it's a lot to cover, but we'll get to a lot more of this lesson within the next week or so. So I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, pay close attention to to the Word of God. Preachers and teachers, make sure you're doing the things that God has called us to do, because there has to be a change in the church. God said he's coming back after church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And we know there's just so many spots, wrinkles, and blemishes in the church. We can see it in the people. And in some of the preachers, you can see it. So we're not coming to criticize. We're not coming to judge. We're not coming to put down. We're just coming to say that it's time for a change in the church. If we're going to make it in, if we're really sincere about making it in, we're going to have to make some changes in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
It was in the neighborhood of Psalm 51. Stopped at house number 12. If you'll turn to Psalm 51 and verse 12, and it reads, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated for just a little while. I want to speak from the subject, restore my joy. Restore my joy. Won't be before you long this morning, because I just feel there is a need to remind us afresh that every now and then, when God has heard our cry, cleansed our hearts, given us a new lease on life, another chance, has blessed us to be in a place where we know it was nothing but his grace, that we must not forget the joy that goes along with restoration. This is a word of restoration. It's a word that is so needed in the church today. I look around and I see so many believers in the house, but there is no joy. They've got testimonies, but there is no joy. They've got victory, but there is no joy. They can't lift their hands and praise with freedom and truth, because there is no joy. They look at others run. They look at others shout. They look at others singing and praising, and yet they can't seem to muster up enough to participate because there is no joy. If David had to put this request for the restoration of God's joy in his life, then how about you and me? Every now and then we go through things in life that hurt us. We go through things that scar us and mar us, that causes us to be weather beaten, that causes us to be used up and sometimes out. And we have a lackluster experience. And yet, in spite of God's goodness, we don't have the joy we used to have. We sing, but we don't sing from our hearts. We sing from our heads. We remember the lyrics, and so we sang the lyrics, but there is nothing that stirs us up. And so, my brothers and my sisters, I don't want you to come Sunday after Sunday and ain't got no joy. I need you to talk to God on your own behalf about restoring your joy. You know, the joy of just thinking about coming to the house of the Lord. You start getting ready. You're singing and you're praising and you're talking to God. You can't wait to get with the other brothers and sisters in fellowship, because you know what a time when all God's children get together. What a time, because there is joy that like fire just seems to burn brighter and hotter when folk who know him get together. And so look at what he says. First of all, restore. This word restore means to return back like new. Return back like new. Now what's interesting about that is anything that has to be restored suggests that it has been used, it has been dated, timed, it has been through things, it has caused it to lose its luster, its shine, its glow. It suggests that it's been through some stuff. And if I'm talking to anybody who's been through some stuff, then I'm talking about you needing to tell God, restore my joy. Because I don't care how saved you are, how holy you are, you can go through some stuff that will take the joy straight on out of you if you are not connected to that place with God where he restores your joy. A smile ain't joy. Just because you got a smile on your face don't mean you've got joy in your house. A laugh ain't joy. Just because you laugh at something funny or that you pretend to laugh don't mean that you've got no joy. To be able to look pleasant doesn't mean you have joy. The joy that David speaks about is an experiential reality with a relationship and a fellowship intact that God himself has crowned with his glory. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So when you don't have joy, nor do you have God's joy, you don't have what's necessary for you to continue on this journey with the reality of joy in your heart. Let me tell you one thing. One of the reasons why you ought to want to hold on to joy is because joy can be on the inside of you while you are going through sorrowful times. Joy can hang out with you when you're being challenged and when you're being pulled from side to side while you're going through your struggle. Joy can keep you company when you get lonely. Joy can make you feel good when you're sad and everything around you is a sorrowful situation. Joy, you ought to want to keep as your best friend, because joy will remind you that God has not left you. Listen, listen. The devil doesn't want you to have joy. You can have stuff, but if you ain't got no joy, the devil is happy. Because joy only comes from the Lord. That's something the devil can't give you and the devil cannot take away, but you can give it up. You can let it depart from you by focusing on that that's not everlasting. By focusing on that that just doesn't matter. By focusing on that that brings and deprives and drains you of the reality of knowing God has got this thing fixed. Restore. Listen now. When you restore something back to like new condition, it doesn't mean you lost it. You still got it. It just don't shine like it used to shine. You still have the substance. You still have the stuff, but you don't have the shine, the glow, the glory that goes with it. Listen, he hadn't lost what God gave him. He just lost the joy of what God gave him. Listen to what he says. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Looking at that word, there are five words connected with this word salvation in this verse. And it's important because here's what he's literally saying. He says, God, I know I still got what you gave me, but I ain't got the joy. And here's the thing. What really good is it, really, if you got the stuff and ain't got no joy because you got it? You see, it's the joy that gives you the pride and the feel good about having it, because if you don't have that, what's the sense in having it? Here are the five words. The first word is deliverance. So literally what he was saying was, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy deliverance. Do you remember when you were delivered? How you were bound and shackled and God set you free. God brought you out. God lifted you up. God unlocked your cell. God released you. Do you remember the joy you felt when you got your deliverance? You said you wasn't going to tell nobody, but you couldn't keep it. Lord, I wish I had some witnesses in the house. I'm talking about deliverance. Do you remember when you had that addiction and God delivered you from that addiction? Do you remember when you had that perversion? God delivered you. You remember when you had that man or that woman that just literally ripped your life? God delivered you. You remember when you had that habit you just couldn't seem to break? You prayed and you prayed, Lord, don't let it be too late. Then you turned it over to Jesus and you stopped worrying about, turned it to the Lord and he... Am I talking to anybody in the house? Do you remember the joy of your deliverance? You got the joy of your deliverance. You can stand and say it's 13 years, 5 months, and 6 days. I've been free of this. I've been free of that. I've been delivered. Joy still there. I don't want to do it again because I've got a joy I never had since I've been delivered. But another word connected with this salvation is safety. Restore unto me the joy of thy safety. Safely in his arms. Protected by the one who is the most powerful potentate in life. Safely in the presence of God. So much so that the enemy cannot remove you from that safe place. It's a joy knowing he's got your back. He's got your front. He's got your top. He's all over me. And he's keeping me alive. He's in my hand and my feet. I ain't going to go on because I don't think y'all understand what I'm trying to tell you. It's a safe place to be. Then the next word connected with salvation in this text is liberty. Restore unto me the joy of thy liberty. The Bible clearly says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Man, I'm unshackled. I'm free. I can stand up. I can wave my hands. I can let the tears flow without folk wondering what's wrong with me. I can shout. I can testify. I can give him glory. And I ain't worried about who's looking at me. I've got the liberty to be able to say what God says, believe what God says, and receive what God says. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says. I've got that kind of liberty. And the joy is you can't do nothing about it. But another word connected with salvation here is prosperity. Restore unto me the joy of thy prosperity. And listen to this. Prosperity means more than money, honey. It means being one and well with God. Not just wealth, but wellness with God. See, if I got it well with God, then the wealth ain't no problem, because whether I got it in my account or he got it in his account, whatever I need, he will supply. I don't really need to have it in my account, because when I call on him, he's going to do it anyhow. So if he's going to do it, if I leave it in his account, I ain't even got to pay taxes on it. I just threw that now for free. Can you imagine if they tried to tax God on all he has? But you render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God. And when you begin to realize the prosperity that God wants you to have, it is a balance in your whole life. Every area of your life balanced. So there is no need and there is no want in your life, because the Lord is your shepherd. And you shall not want. Prosperity, prosperity. And then the last word connected with salvation in this text is victory. Restore unto me the joy of thy victory. The victory that God gives, lives. I'll say that again. The victory that God gives, lives. And see, if the victory lives, then all I need to be is restored or returned to the joy I first knew when I got the victory and started singing, "Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is," I told Satan, "get thee behind me, because victory today is mine." Now, if you ain't got no joy singing "victory is mine," you got some serious issues. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Listen, I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Oh, say it one more time like you mean it. Victory is mine. Come on now. Victory is mine. Victory. In every area of life, I told Satan, get thee. Victory. Yeah, joy. Talking about joy. Joy today. Right here, right now. Oh, Lord. Get thee. And joy. Yeah, victory. 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 Hey, 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 get thee. Because victory today is mine. Yeah, when you got victory, there's something about it. Listen, if you got victory in your life that God has given you, then you've got something to constantly rejoice about. And uphold me. Sit down. I done gave y'all the little sharp part. I'm about to finish teaching now. And uphold me. And that word means to let me lean on you. To keep me. And uphold me with thy free. That word free means generous and magnanimous spirit. In other words, you got so much spiritual power that when I get weak, your spirit is still strong. When I can't take another step, your spirit can carry me. Your spirit can guide me. It can guard me. It can keep me. It can comfort me. Your spirit is so magnanimous in its reach and its efforts to keep me like you want to keep me, that there is nothing that can compare with it. He says, return me back like new the joy I once had. And my brothers and sisters, the preacher won't have to beg for an amen. A praise the Lord, a thank you Jesus, a glory to God, a hallelujah. When the joy, matter of fact, he'll act like y'all act every now and then when the preacher had to tell y'all, now quiet now, let me preach. Because the joy is bubbling over so much, you preaching right along with the preacher. You know what he's talking about. Been there, done that. You are a living witness to God's goodness. And so my brothers, my sisters, seek the restoration of God's joy. There ain't nothing like it. Nothing like it. You won't talk about a pick-me-up? The joy of the Lord is a pick-me-up. Man, you can just be sitting around and you were there, you know, just in a melancholy way, just ain't nothing hurting you, but ain't nothing feeling good. Ain't nothing wrong, but don't feel like nothing right. You in one of those places, but then you start thinking of God's goodness. And that's another thing that helps to return the joy when you learn to be grateful and thankful for what God's already done. Matter of fact, I was in that place one day, and I was thinking of God's goodness, and I concluded that what God has done and what God is doing, I'm